Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. It's good to be in the house of God. It's been an encouragement this morning to be here. It's a blessing that as we look into the Word of God, we can receive encouragement for our spiritual lives. For a message, I'd like to start out with a few questions. Did you ever feel like the disciples did in our Sunday school lesson? That you rowed all night, you were rowing all night and not getting anywhere, and you just feel like you're at your wit's end. Do you ever get up mornings and feel exhausted and wonder how you're going to face the day? Do you ever feel like the burden that you're bearing is more than you can handle? Maybe you're wondering how you can stretch your dollars and make them reach. Maybe you're faced with a sickness. Something unexpected has come up and you're wondering, what now? How am I going to handle this? How are we going to go forward? Maybe you've faced the death of a loved one. And all of a sudden, life looks so different. There's grief, there's sorrow. And the path forward looks like more than you can take. You know, I think we all sometimes come to a point in life when we feel we're about the end of the rope, as the saying is. We face things that are difficult. We face things that look pretty hopeless sometimes. But this morning I'd like to look into the Word of God and find some directives in how we can go on in situations like this, in difficult situations, when we feel like there's so little to go on. And the title of the message this morning is When My Little Is Not Enough. And we live in a culture and a society today that says when you come into a difficult situation, you need to do more. You need to work more. We need to make ourselves enough. I mean, I gotta go on. I'm tough. I can do it. We can't look weak and vulnerable. And granted, I know we have our part to do. But when we face our not enough, when we face those times in life when we've come to the end of the rope, as we can say, that is when God can start working. So often we look to ourselves as we can do it. I'm tough. I can do it. And we fail to give our insufficiencies, our inabilities to God. And that's what I'd like to look at a little bit this morning. Looking a bit at the story in 2 Kings chapter 4. I invite you to turn there with me. In 2 Kings chapter 4, it's a familiar story. It's a very simple story in the time of Elisha. And yet as we think about the situation here, we can find encouragement and we can find directives in how we should relate to these kind of situations in life. Also be looking at maybe a few other examples, but the Bible is full of examples where people have gone through difficulties and have come to the end of what they could do, and they cried out to God, and God made a way, miraculously made a way for them. 2 Kings chapter 4, I think I'll read verses 1 through 7. Now there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go and borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and thou shalt live, and thy children of the rest. Interesting little story in the life of Elisha. And some Jewish traditions would say that possibly this man of God, where it talks about he was one of the sons of the prophets, potentially he was Obadiah. And I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter. But if you look back in 1 Kings 18, it talks about Obadiah was governor of Ahab's house. He was out, I think he was out looking for grass for his horses, if I remember correctly, when Elijah met him. And Elijah had told him that he wants to come before Ahab. And Obadiah has said, You know, why are you trying to get me killed? Because I hid 100 prophets of the Lord during Ahab's time there. I hid them because Ahab was out to kill them. So he was a man that was a godly man. Obadiah was. And yeah, I don't know if this was the man or not. Potentially it was, you know, maybe he had incurred a debt by feeding these 100 prophets over this time. I don't know. And again, it doesn't really matter that much. But here was this certain widow that was in a very, very, very difficult situation. And point number one I would like to have for this morning is difficult times come to Christians as well as to others. Just by being a Christian, we don't necessarily have a special rating that we'll never have difficulties that come into our lives. In John 16, verse 8, Jesus said, These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We will have difficulties. There will be times in life as Christians when we face the end of our rope, as you could say. Times when we don't know where to turn. But Jesus still said, In me ye shall have peace. The answer to these situations, these difficulties, is not in ourselves. Even though sometimes we think, what can I do more? You know, I need to work more. I need to do this and this and this. The answer is not necessarily in ourselves. Yes, as I said before, we have our part to do. But so often we crawl into our shell and say, nobody cares. Nobody knows what I'm going through. And the devil tries to take us down that route and make us discouraged. But let's remember that even though we live in a sin-cursed earth, and there will be difficulties, Jesus' promise is still true, where he said in John, In me ye have peace. We can find peace in our difficult situations as we go to Jesus. Point number two is make your need known to God. Be willing to admit that you have a need. And this widow, she came to Elisha, and she cried to him. Verse 1 there, it says, There cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets, And that cry is a cry of desperation. And if you think a little bit about what this widow was facing, she lived in a time where a widow was very difficult to find a job. Not only did she was out of money, her husband passed away, I don't know how long before here, so she was dealing with grief. And then there's this debt that she had to pay, and the debtor was, or the man to come get the debt was saying he's going to take her two sons with her, or excuse me, with him, to be bondmen, to work, to pay back that loan that they had. So this poor widow was dealing with grief. She was dealing with a debt. And then here was someone that was saying he's going to take her two children away. The two children that she was probably leaning on to help her through this difficult time. So it was a desperate situation for her, and I can't quite imagine being in a situation like that. She didn't really have a way to support herself, but she went to Elisha and cried out to him. That was her connection with God. So when we face difficult times in life, let's cry out to God. God knows our need, and yet He wants to hear it from us. Be willing to admit that we have a need, and even going to other brothers and sisters and pouring out our hearts to them. We're here as brothers and sisters in Christ to help each other, to be an encouragement for each other. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 34 for a few verses. Psalm chapter 34. I'd like to read verse 17 through 22. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We have the promise here that God hears. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. He will deliver us. We have that promise. Maybe not quite in the way that we expect. You know, we have our preconceived ideas of what deliverance looks like in this life. Sometimes God has other ideas that are much higher than ours. And we need to accept that. But we have the promise that God hears, and He invites us to cry out to Him. He wants us to hear from us what our need is. He is always near. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. We like to think about being nigh unto them and saving us. But that's not all the verse. It talks about those that are of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit. Speaks of those that are going through difficulties, trials, afflictions. It talks about in verse 19. But God's promise is still there, even for those that go through those difficulties. Point number three. If we go back to our story in 2 Kings, Elisha asked her, "What do you have in your house?" Or he said, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house?" And then she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." My point here is, focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. And I don't know, maybe it's just a translation here, but she said, I don't have anything except a pot of oil. She didn't say, and again, maybe it's the translation part, but she didn't say, I have a pot of oil here, and that's all I have. You know, it seemed maybe the focus was on what she didn't have. And I know how that is. You know, when you face difficulties in life, it's very easy to focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have, how God has blessed us. We often look at what we're lacking and fail to focus on the blessings God has given to us. We often look at our deficit and fail to look at how big our God is. And I know we're human, and these are natural tendencies. And yet, we need to get our focus on God. We have all been given something, and God expects us to use it. If we would go back to Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, there was some that were given five, some two, and then there was some that were given one. We haven't all been given the same talents. And God doesn't expect us all to do the same, and yet He expects us to do something with what He has given us. Significance in God's eyes isn't on what we accomplish. It's in faithfulness in using what He has given us. Faithfulness is what He expects from us. And here widow lady said she has a pot of oil, and that's where God could start in with her. And God often starts with things that we have, things that He has already given us, not necessarily in what we are lacking. And we see in this miracle how this pot of oil multiplied, and God could use that. So we need to bring what we have to God. Need to focus on what God has given us rather than our lack. And it changes our thinking pattern. You know, if our focus is on what I don't have, you know, and it's often what I wish I had. You know, I'm lacking this and this and this. Or, you know, maybe my loved one was taken away. And there's a lot of things that are difficult. But let's focus on the blessings that we have. Maybe a companion was taken, but let's focus on the brotherhood, the children that we have that are helping. The list could go on and on of many different ways. It changes our thinking pattern as we think about the blessings that God has given us rather than how we wish things were different. Make it a daily challenge to thank God for the blessings that He has given you. And you'll be surprised how many blessings there are. So often, I tend to get caught up in God help me with this and this and this, and the list can go on and on, rather than thanking Him for everything that He has given us. And it's a different mindset, and it will give us a different perspective on life as we think of the many blessings of God. And at the end of the message, I'd like to look at some verses where it talks about God's blessings to us. Point number four, we need to step out in obedience and faith. And this widow here was given an assignment. Verse 3, Elisha said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And then he goes on to tell her to, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into all these vessels. So Elisha gave her an assignment. She had work to do. And it was expected that she would step out in faith and in obedience. And it took faith in her part, I'm sure. So what are the neighbors going to think when I go ask for all your empty vessels? You know, I can only imagine a little bit These says she had two boys, and I don't know what their age was. But she said, okay, now let's all go out to the neighbors. Maybe you take one side of the street and I'll take the other. And you go ask your neighbors for empty vessels. Well, what are neighbors going to think of me? You know, can you only imagine? They probably all knew she was poor. And now maybe they wonder what's going on with her. Is she losing it? She wants all these empty vessels. And I can imagine they were maybe watching as the boys came back with their handfuls of vessels coming into their house. What does she think she's doing? But it was a step of faith. She was asked to do that, and she stepped out in obedience to what Elisha asked of her. Did she know how it's all going to turn out? I don't know. Elisha had told her that they were supposed to pour the oil that she had into these vessels, but she didn't know exactly how it was all going to turn out. And I'm sure she had questions. You know, what are the neighbors going to think? How is one pot of oil going to fill all these others? And God may ask us sometimes to step out in faith, even when we don't understand, when we don't have all the answers, we don't see the whole picture. Here we see the complete picture, but this widow lady didn't. She didn't know what all was going to happen. And it's so easy for us to bring human reasoning into a picture like this. And that doesn't work. Human reasoning, human mathematics don't work when God is given room to work. You know, here you have one little pot of oil and all these empty vessels. It doesn't work. Human mathematics don't work in that. But we went through the story of the feeding of the 5,000. Had five loaves and two fishes in John 6. You know, Philip, his response was, well, you know, how are you going to feed this many people? Even if you work 200 days, that's not enough to feed all these people. But Andrew, he brought the lad with these few loaves and fishes. Andrew is an interesting person. You see him different times bringing people to Jesus. And he brought this lad to Jesus and said, you know, we have these five loaves and two small fishes. But then he made a comment, but what are these among so many? And I don't know what all he was thinking, but I like to think that he knew Jesus could. He had faith that he could, and yet his faith was weak. You know, we know God can work in the situation that I'm going to, and yet we just don't know how. And our faith is very weak at times. But I think I like to think that Andrew brought this lad to Jesus and knew Jesus could do that. He knew Jesus had the power to do it. But he said, what are these among so many? We could look at the story of Gideon and his 300 men. Human thinking, not a chance. Not a chance that they could beat the Midianites. David and Goliath, this giant of a man against David with a sling and a few stones. Again, not a chance. That's human thinking, human mathematics. They just don't work in comparison to God's way of working. Also, the widow in Zarephath that fed Elijah. She had a little oil and a little flour. And how that little bit lasted until the rain came. And she fed three through that whole time. So let's remember to take our things to God. And God has a way of working far above what we can imagine, what we can think. Number five, that I have is miracles don't always happen in spectacular fashion for the world to see. And I don't know what all the reasons were here that Elisha told the widow. He said, when you come in, you have all these empty vessels, go into your house and close the door. Verse 5, it says, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. I think Elisha wanted to make sure that no one else was going to take credit for this miracle. You know, the door was closed. There's no way anyone could come in and pour something into these vessels. It was supposed to be a special moment for her and for her sons. A special time, specifically a miracle for them. And God has those special moments for us also. Call them sacred moments. When he comes down and touches us as a family or as individuals in a very special way. And I think we need to look at them as sacred. God did something special for me right here. There was a miracle. Let's not miss those times when God does things for us. Let's be willing to close the door to the things of life, distractions of life, and see how God has worked in our lives, personally, as a family, as a church. Number 6, the oil will continue to flow as long as there are empty vessels. It's a picture of the grace and mercy of God. As we have empty hearts, as we open our hearts to God, God will provide his mercy and strength for us. Whenever we feel that we can do it ourselves, I don't need help, then we close the door to God providing something special for us, pouring his oil into our lives. We need to be empty vessels that he can fill. There's a story of George Mueller, and he was a man that was known not to go about and just beg for help, beg for support for the orphans and the many things that he was doing for these children. But he went to God with his needs. And there's a story I'd like to read. Listen closely. It's a very interesting story, and maybe you already have heard it. But it spoke to me again. And think about, you know, the faith of this man, but especially remember that the God of George Mueller is still the same God today. George was a man that had a faith and a trust in God. But he also went through a lot of difficulties, and God proved himself strong to him in many, many ways. And that's strengthened his faith. In the winter of 1866, a man named George Mueller stood in the hallway of his orphanage in Bristol, England. I should say there were several hundred children in this orphanage, but he fed thousands of orphans. He was responsible for the lives and well-being of hundreds of orphan children. That morning, the house mother hurried to him with a look of sheer dread on her face. She whispered the words every leader fears. The inspector is here. The children are dressed for breakfast, but there is absolutely no food left in the pantry. There is no milk. There is no bread. We have nothing. Mueller didn't panic. He didn't scramble to borrow money or send workers to beg in the streets. Instead, he told the house mother to gather all the children into the dining room. He had them sit down at the long wooden tables. In front of every single child was an empty plate and an empty cup. With hundreds of empty plates staring back at him, Mueller stood at the front of the room, closed his eyes, and prayed. He thanked God for the food they were about to eat. To human logic, it was foolishness. It was a joke. They had nothing. But barely had he said amen when a knock came to the door. It was the local baker. He told Mueller, "I couldn't sleep last night. I felt God telling me you would need bread. So I got up at 2 a.m. and baked 3 large batches for you." Moments later, another knock came. It was the milkman. His wagon wheel had just broken down directly in front of the orphanage. To lighten his load so he could repair the wheel, he offered to give Mueller all the fresh cans of milk for free. Mueller confronted a room full of empty vessels, and God filled them to overflowing. Now, what an amazing miracle. We still have the same God today, God that never changes. Are we bringing our empty vessels to Him to fill? Or are we bringing vessels that are full of self-sufficiency, and we don't see our need of complete reliance upon God? Point number 7, God's provisions are abundant and sufficient. And we see that in this widow here. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay the debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." She was blessed in abundance. The widow was here. God's provisions are always abundant and sufficient. And I would be quick to say, though, that yes, even though God's provisions are always abundant and sufficient, they're not always exactly what we want or what we expect. Our look of abundant and sufficient sometimes is different than what God sees. And we could look at in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul came to God, and he sought God to help him in time of need. Maybe it was his eyesight, I'm not exactly sure what it was. But God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made strong in weakness," or I'm not exactly sure how that says. But God's grace was sufficient, even though the difficulty wasn't taken away from him. God gave that peace, that sufficiency for him. So we need to remember that even though there's a promise that God's provisions are always abundant and sufficient, they might look a little different than what we expect or would want, but they're always there. And my last point is, remember to always give glory and praise to God for what He's done for us. And I find for myself, it's so easy to forget that. You know, we pray to God for help, for direction, for whatever. And He provides that, and we forget to go back and thank Him for that. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Our life here is to be one of praise and glory to our Redeemer. And let's not forget to do that. In closing, just a few verses that I'd like to read of encouragement, of strengthening, and to remind us that God cares about us. And if you're that person this morning that is going through a dark time in life, a difficulty, these verses are for you, or for all of us. We're all sure to face some of those difficulties in life sometime. Psalm 55:22, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Jeremiah 17:7-8, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." It's a picture of not only survival, but that's flourishing. as we trust in God. Matthew 7, verse 11, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" God is a loving Father, and he cares about each one of us. He wants what's best for us. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Philippians 4, 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And there's many more verses, promises that we can look in as we face difficulties in life, that we can, as we look to the Word of God, we can find encouragement. So as we face these difficulties in life that we're sure to face, let's bring them to God and remember that God is a faithful God. He's a God that will will take the little that we have, may it be so little, the little faith we have sometimes, he will take that, and as we trust in him, he will provide and care for us. Let's kneel for prayer.